Little Pfister, right field, shallow. It drops and gets down, and the Indians will take the lead. Incredible. Austin Hedges has done it again.
Welcome to the Sports Ticket. Royals lose last night in 11 innings to the Cleveland Indians. Royals now 59-73 on the season. There was a go-ahead single in the 11th inning, but there was some good news. Jackson Coar, he was called back up to the bigs, turned in easily the best start of his young career, tossing six innings, allowing no earned runs, struck out a career-high six, and Alberto Mondesi was back in the lineup and fueled the offense as the designated hitter with a homer and two runs scored. The Royals couldn't turn their contributions into a victory as they did fall 5-3-11. Coar couldn't earn his first career win as Yu Chang clubbed a pinch-hit homer to tie it in the seventh off of Jacob Brintz, who was just activated off the IL on Wednesday. The Royals had a chance to win it in the bottom of the 10th with an error and a walk, loaded the bases, nobody out, bottom of the 10th. You're thinking, yeah, Royals are going to win. But a strikeout, pair of pop-ups, ended the threat. Cleveland cashed in right after that top of the 11th for the 5-3 win with a couple runs off of Irvin Santana. Mike Matheny, manager of the Royals, they had their chances in the 10th.
Yeah, we like where we are right there. Can't keep asking the exact same guy to come through every single time. He's been ridiculously consistent and off the charts good in those situations. And, you know, we just let it slip through our hands right there.
Of course, the biggest story to me was Alberto Mondesi. When he's healthy, he brings just a whole different dynamic to this team. And all these Royals fans saying trade him, get, well, you're not going to get nothing for him. He's always hurt. Maybe get something, but he's just such a special talent. And they're working on moving him to third base, which means Bobby Witt Jr. had three more hits yesterday at the AAA Omaha. Very well could be your everyday opening day shortstop next year for the Royals. Mondesi could end up being your third baseman. And activated just yesterday, Mondesi played DH. No signs of rust. 2-for-5, single in his first at bat, a big time 422-foot homer in his second at bat. It's like he didn't even miss any time. He also had a stolen base, but it resulted in an error on an overthrow and scored. He just wreaks havoc on the base paths and at the plate. And he did strike out three times, but that's how Major League Baseball works. You hit home runs, you strike out. Mondesi's no different. Tonight, the Royals back in action. Mike Minor in the third game of the series. Royals try to avoid the sweep at home. Minor 8-11, ERA of 5.30. All right, local sports. We got an ever-changing, ever-flowing situation when it comes to high school sports due to that nasty, nasty thing we've now come to grow and hate, COVID-19.
Yeah, COVID-19's changing some things for both, for two of our immediate area teams now. We told you last night about the Beloit Trojans as their game Friday with Republic County has been canceled for Republic County anyway, as they were slated to open the season Friday night. Republic County has closed their school here for at least till hopefully after Labor Day they'll go back in, but that game now off the table. And then Marysville. Found out their game was off the table with Valley Heights because Valley Heights has COVID. So luckily for Beloit and Marysville, they're both in a situation where they could add a game, and Beloit will play Marysville coming up on Friday night. And you can catch the game on Katy Country 94 and also the online video stream at ncksports.com. So that'll be coming up Friday night there in Beloit. So it was supposed to be a home game for Beloit, and they'll stay at home with Marysville. Also, we just found out this morning that Rock Hill's football team is in a quarantine, and so they will not be playing against Lynn coming up tomorrow night. We actually asked Coach Hovenstein if that's a one-game or two-game situation. He says we're not 100% sure yet. There's a possibility we could still play week two. We're not sure yet. So it just kind of depends on how all the tests come out. So right now, one game missing for Rock Hills, and so we'll keep an eye on their situation as well with COVID-19. So that's where COVID sits with our schedule right now.
All right. Locker room chats today.
Yeah, locker room chats. We'll have a chance to talk with the football coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas around 5:10 to 5:15. If you missed our first chats of the season on Wednesday night, they're posted on the Locker Room Chat podcast at katycountry94.com. Also, there's quite a bit of activity going on today. Before we go through the schedule today, I just will touch base real quick. Beloit freshman Addison Budke was named the ncksports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week as a freshman. She made herself known real quick in Beloit's five-set win over 3A, number 3 TMP Marion and Hayes Friday, registering a team-high 26 kills and 40 attempts and hit 425 as far as the percentage was concerned, and picked up six digs, two aces in the victory as well. entering the fall sports season after making it to the AAU Junior Olympics in track and field over the summer and finishing 10th nationally in the 14-year-old girls shot put. So some highlights there for Addison Budke, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. And that leads us into the Lady Trojans volleyball team being back on the court here today as they're in the triangular with in Ellenwood with Ellenwood and Ellsworth. Varsity plays Ellenwood at 5. JV will meet Ellsworth at 6. Varsity will cap tonight about 6:30 against Ellsworth. They're in volleyball, and all those matches can be seen on the online video stream at NCKSSports.com on the Beloit Trojan channel. Also in volleyball today, Concordia's at the Abilene Quad with TMP Marion and Smoky Valley, and Thunder Ridge is at Plainville Triangular. Northern Valley also there here today in high school volleyball. High school tennis today. The Beloit girls tennis team is at Clay Center. 3 o'clock this afternoon, Concordia goes to Chapman Quad as well. And then high school cross country starting today. Many teams starting their season. Lakeside, Osborne, Lincoln, Sylvan Lucas, and Pike Valley will be competing this afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Tescott Invitational. And then Concordia Invitational taking place this afternoon. Beloit and St. John's will be competing there. And that starts at 4:15. So let's look at what's going on in local sports. And actually, I had a chance to talk with Brad Mason, the head cross country coach there for Beloit, and he kind of went over things and how things are going to go for Beloit today and through this season. And welcome back here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. Brad Mason joining us now, the coach of the Beloit cross country team, and you're getting set to start the high school season coming up this afternoon. Just kind of looking at your team. We'll focus on the high school group right now and just seeing what you have back, Coach. Lance Lundin was a top 15 guy for you at the state meet last year in Class 3A. Ariana Armstrong on the girls' side also qualified for state. Looks like you got a good, decent number out here this year with 7 on the high school side of things. Just as you look at this group, what are some of the things that you're seeing so far here in the early practices?
Well, you know, all summer long, I was gone a lot of the summer, and my wife, Renee, just told me some really great things about the kids. They were really easy to work with, and just positive attitudes and, you know, a willingness to do some workouts. So a lot of them had some great, you know, off-season conditioning. And, you know, we all know, whether it's football or, you know, volleyball, whatever the sport, off-season conditioning is going to pay huge dividends, you know, by the time you get to October. So you're right. Lance Lundin kind of leads the pack. He was a top 20 All-State for us as a freshman. So looking at getting him back to state, you know, in October, then Ariana Armstrong, she's going to be a junior now, and hoping to get her back. And not just those two, but, you know, there's a long two. So, yeah, a few more kids out this year than last year. We have 8 high schoolers out, you know, 7 junior hires. But, yeah, really excited about, you know, some good numbers.
Hey, do you look, as I mentioned, you get set to start the season coming up. You'll be at the Concordia Invitational, starts at 4:15 this afternoon. This meet, I think probably, and you would agree, is a good way to start the season for you. What are some of the teams that you're expecting to see, and how do you guys stack up there at Concordia this afternoon?
Yeah, Concordia is kind of a challenge, always has been. It's normally, well, it's a tough course over there. If you've ever golfed over there, pretty hilly course, so it's a good challenging course, and it's probably the toughest course that we run because it's early on, and kids maybe not quite as used to the hill running as we would like. But Phillipsburg will be there. St. John's has a good small core this year. Belleville, Republic County. I heard Anthony Nunez, who is a former runner of mine, he's an assistant coach up there this year, and I'm expecting some really great things coming from Republic County. But I heard through the grapevine they have 41 kids out. That's junior high and high school. So they have a really solid boys group. So I think they're going to really make some waves. Abilene will probably show up there, Sacred Heart, Minneapolis. So some really good competition. So hopefully we'll see, you know, maybe Lance, you know, placing up there pretty high. Ariana, Porter is really doing really well. Abby Porter, who's also a junior. So anyway, anything can happen. We'll just see how things work out. And we go next week then totally almost an opposite course. We go down to Heston, which is as flat as a pancake. It's really, really fast course down there. So this would be a good meet to kind of figure out where they're at. And they get a little bit, the meets kind of get a little bit easier in terms of the, you know, the amount of hills or the lack of hills like we see at Heston. The junior high will go to Sacred Heart on Tuesday, which is a really fast course. So anyway, we're really looking forward to, you know, starting things off on a good note. So anyway.
Take me through real quick of what you want to see from your kids during the season, because you want to obviously get things rolling, but you want to be closer to your PRs and things like that toward the postseason, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a challenge as a coach because, you know, a lot of our workouts, it's a little bit more technical than what people think, you know. So we would like to know a really decent time that they can run, and the junior high will run a 2 mile, depending on the weather situation. Sometimes they'll run a mile, but so we want to see a legitimate 2 mile competitive time, and I want to see a legitimate 3.1, a 5K time, you know, that the high schoolers run. So from that, I extrapolate, you know, numbers, and we do race pace stuff typically on Mondays. So if it's a really, really challenging course, hilly course, or if it's really hot or whatever, I don't really get a legitimate time. So it's a little bit harder to kind of figure out what times they need to run, like, say, on a Monday when we're doing repeat, you know, intervals at race pace. So what I really look forward to is just, you know, them finishing the race solid, maybe holding back a little bit, you know, because like we always say as coaches in cross country, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. We want to finish strong. It's easier, much psychologically easier when you're passing kids in the last mile than if you're being passed. It just helps with the finish, obviously. And then I kind of look almost past, you know, Concordia, because next week with Sacred Heart and definitely at Heston, it's a very accurate a course, and it's very flat, so I can get some lot better times, you know, at Heston that I can use as a coach to kind of figure out what they need to be doing during the week and other practices. But you know, we just want, you know, good effort, you know, a good competition, you know, be there, you know. It's surprising, the first course, sometimes the first two or three meets, it's really surprising to me as a coach in a varsity race, the number of kids that you see walking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's a heat issue, or they're just not quite, you know, conditioned. So we kind of hope, we can kind of tell, you know, as coaches, there's going to be a couple that are not going to be running, you know, Concordia. They're just not conditioned. They're not quite ready to run that race that they need to. But you give them another week or two, they'll be ready to go.
Brad Mason, the head coach of the Bullitt Cross Country team here on the Sports Ticket. Coach, we thank you for the time, and best of luck as you open out the season at Concordia.
Hey, thank you very much, Dusty. Appreciate the support there.
Yeah, cross country starting today for the Bullitt Trojans again. They're in Concordia at 4:15 this afternoon. Again, the Bullitt and St. John's teams both competing there this afternoon. So we'll keep you up to date on all that. Hopefully, I have all the results for you tomorrow on our sports cast and the sports ticket as well. So all that local sports information can all be found for you as well at ncksports.com. Once again, high school football locker room chats beginning tonight for the St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas squads. And high school football will start tomorrow night. Check out ncksports.com for our latest high school football broadcast schedule. Again, it's Beloit hosting Marysville tomorrow night on KD Country 94, then on Z96 Point through the lake. Lakeside will start the season at home against Logan Palco. Again, for high school football coming up tomorrow night. So that's a look at what's going on in the local sports world here this morning on the Sports Ticket.
All right. Let's turn our attention to the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs open up season next Sunday, 3:25, pregame at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake against the Cleveland Browns. Brett Veach, your manager of the Chiefs, had a press conference yesterday and discussed the roster process.
Our staff does such a great job of turning over every stone. And you know, I think we were here last night till midnight just watching all these guys and seeing, you know, is there a way for us to get better on the active and how can we continue to grow and develop talent on our practice squad. And we certainly value that practice squad, and having 16 guys in the practice squad enables us to even work with more players and develop more talent. So, you know, we're excited about that process, and we'll continue to watch guys through the weekend. And, you know, the interesting thing about this waiver wire process is, you know, you'll have the wave of guys that got released, but there's always the counter move. So all the teams that made claims today have to release guys tomorrow. So we'll be back at it this afternoon, tonight, when we get that second update. And again, if we can make ourselves better or do anything, we won't be afraid to do that.
And what about keeping four tight ends, something that we predicted here on the show? The Chiefs did keep four tight ends. Here's Veach explaining that.
Keeping the best players, they do have roles. They did deserve the roster spots. And it became quite clear and obvious to us that on a flip side, because we've been on the other end of this, I feel like the last few years we've been looking for third, fourth tight ends. And then to be able to get Blake in the offseason and then draft Noah and then have Jody have such a great camp, We've been on the other end in regards to knowing how hard it is to find third, fourth tight ends. So, you know, they deserved it, not just with their play at the position, but also special teams. Coach will find a way to use these guys. And then I probably took three or four calls about teams asking about our tight ends over the weekend. So it became clear that these guys weren't making it through the claim period when teams were asking about certain players. So I think, though, before we even took the calls, we were committed to taking four tight ends. I don't think it was a situation where we thought, well, they want these guys, so let's keep them because we can't get them on the practice squad. So we're committed to the four tight end process, but the combination of these guys earning it, coach certainly having a plan to utilize these guys, and just knowing how hard they are to find, I think all played into the process.
So the Chiefs will open up with four tight ends, or so we think at this point in time. There's still 10 days until the season opener, and the Chiefs, of course, open up against the Cleveland Browns, and the Chiefs are the favorite, according to all the betting services, to win the Super Bowl this year. They were also the favorite last year and didn't win it. The Buccaneers won it instead. U.S. Open tennis, the big match last night, second-round match between American Sloane Stephens and Coco Gauff. Coco ranked 21st. Sloane Stephens not ranked. Sloane Stephens wins in straight sets 6-4, 6-2. Back to the Chiefs. Tyrann Mathieu has tested positive for COVID-19. He was vaccinated. Per the NFL COVID-19 protocols for the season, a player must have consecutive days of negative results from both PCR and MESA tests taken 24 hours apart and be asymptomatic. Per the NFL schedule, it usually means a return to the team's facilities after missing two complete days. So if Mathieu was sent home yesterday, Saturday would be the earliest to expect him back. If Mathieu shows symptoms of any kind, even minor ones, then he must return after having the same two negative tests and being asymptomatic for 48 hours, which means likely a longer stint away from the Chiefs. So how that would affect the Chiefs going in our season opener against the Browns to be continued, but Tyrann Mathieu was vaccinated. He is COVID-19 positive, and thus he has to be away from the team at least for a few days. This one really is something. I just need to become a college football coach. There's no other way around it. I don't fully get it. Number 6 Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher have agreed on a new contract extension that will keep the national championship-winning coach, which he won a title in Florida State, in College Station throughout the 2031 season, and we're in 2021. The new, more lucrative deal will pay Fisher nearly $95 million over the next 10 years, about 25% more than he was making. He'll start by earning $9 million during the 2022 calendar year, then $9.15 million in 2023. Beyond that, he'll earn $100,000 raises every year for the life of the contract, which is fully guaranteed. It's a fully guaranteed contract. The deal pushes Fisher to be the second highest paid coach in college football. Only one person makes more, and that, of course, is a guy that has many more titles, Alabama head coach Nick Saban. Think about this for a second. Jimbo Fisher just got a 25% raise from $7.5 million to about $10 million a year, not quite. He was signed for 7 more seasons, and A&M added 3 more years to his contract. Think about this for a second. He was still under contract for quite some time, and they decided to do an extension now. There's no word that anybody was coming after him to get him. He was getting paid quite well. He hasn't won an SEC title. He hasn't even won a division title in the SEC. So now he's signed for 10 years, $95 million. Last year in the SEC, Texas A&M beat two teams with winning records: Florida, who was 8-4, Auburn, who was 6-4. Collectively, A&M's SEC wins came against teams that were 25-47. A&M's one loss was a beatdown at the hands of Alabama, 52-24. Alabama led 35-14 at the half. Remember, A&M was pining for, we deserve to be in the playoff instead of Notre Dame and other teams because we play in the toughest conference. But they only beat two teams with winning records. So there's that whole propaganda from the SEC and ESPN talking about how great the conference is. And honestly, really last year, after Alabama and Georgia, you know, A&M had a nice glossy record, but A&M's schedule wasn't nearly as tough. And A&M, all their wins in the SEC came against teams that were 22 games under 500. Their two good wins were over four lost teams. Florida and Auburn got rolled by the best team, which was Alabama. And I guess that merits a big-time raise, another 3 years added to a 7-year deal, and $95 million. I don't get it. Like, there's nobody who's going after Jimbo Fisher. Nobody can give more except Alabama, probably. And they sure don't want to change their coaches. They got Nick Saban. It's just mind-boggling how much money there is in college sports, and for a coach to really have done nothing that great. I mean, I know they were close to the playoff, but we just pointed out they beat up on teams that weren't very good in the SEC. To get rewarded for almost making a playoff with this type of money and adding 3 years to an already 7-year deal that he was still in the midst of, and he had a ways off before you start usually talking contract extension, Jimbo Fisher either has a lot of blackmail on somebody that's writing the checks at Texas A&M, or somebody really, really, really loves him. I don't get it. I really, really don't. I don't.
I can't really add much to that because I don't understand it either.
And you think Texas has a big athletic budget. Yeah. I'm flabbergasted by it. I'm not surprised by it. It's just...
No.
It's kind of sickening to me, to be quite honest with you. I just don't like seeing it. I don't like it. I mean, I'm okay. I don't think any coach should be paid that much money. I don't think Nick Saban should be paid the money he is. But I will say this. Nick Saban brings a lot of money to Alabama, and they're always in the playoff, almost always. I think one year recently they weren't. Yeah, and they're always right there.
To show for
plenty
the money
of trophies.
He's making.
Much more than Jimbo Fisher has. Is A&M pointing in the right direction? I guess, you know, based on what they did last year. But, Jimbo's getting a lot of money. Other notes to pass along to you. Ben Simmons wants out from the Philadelphia 76ers. I can understand why. He doesn't feel appreciated, so forth and so on. He wants traded. Also, Gerrit Cole, the New York Yankees last night, struck out 15 in 7 innings of work. So 21 of the outs were 15 strikeouts. Angels lose to the Yankees. Yankees, after winning, 13 in a row? They lost 4 in a row, but then they won last night. How many times do you see that? A team wins a whole bunch of games in a row, and then they go into, like, a quick losing streak. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. I think the Royals one time won 9 and they lost 8 in a row. That's the Royals.
Yeah.
two Ravens wide receivers are going to miss at least the first 3 weeks, including Rashad Bateman, who's a very talented young wide receiver. So that's a blow for the Ravens. And, of course, the Chiefs play the Ravens, remember, in week 2. So Miles Boykin and Rashad Bateman on injured reserve. So that could help the Chiefs when they go play the Ravens in week 2. And when it comes to Major League Baseball, guess what? The Dodgers, with their superstar team and keep adding players at the break. Remember, they picked up Trey Turner, an all-star from the Nationals, all-star and going to be probably Hall of Famer Max Scherzer. What do you know? The Dodgers now are up in their division when it comes to the standings. They've been behind most of the season, but now the Dodgers are coming on, defending World Series champions. You look at the standings right now in Major League Baseball, and the Dodgers now have a half-game lead over San Francisco. The Padres are 14 games out but have a winning record. Milwaukee has a 10.5-game lead over Cincinnati in the NL Central. They're running away with it. The Braves have a 2-game lead over the Phillies. The Mets have just gone south, and now they got their acting GM getting arrested for a DUI. So they just continue to have all kinds of drama there in New York with the Mets, who are having a really good season until about the All-Star break. Tampa Bay leads the Yankees by 7 games, Boston by 9 in the East. And the White Sox run away with the Central 10-game lead over the Indians. Royals, by the way, are in 4th place. Game and a half ahead of Minnesota for last. Houston has a 5-game lead over the A's, 6.5 over the Mariners. When you look at the wild card race right now, Major League Baseball, in case you're curious, right now the Yankees and the Red Sox have the 2 wild card spots, which means Yankees, Red Sox could play winner take all, 1-game playoff in the wild card. Wouldn't that be saucy? Well, you know, ESPN will make a gigantic deal about it. Oakland is 2 games out of the second wild card spot. Seattle still has a shot, 3.5 out, and even the Blue Jays have a shot. They're 4.5 out. And in the National League, the Giants by far have at least one of the wild card spots wrapped up. Cincinnati has a 2nd spot. They have a 1.5-game lead over San Diego. Think about that. Cincinnati hasn't spent a lot of money. Remember Trevor Bauer, Cy Young Award winner, traded him or let him go to the Dodgers. And San Diego, they got Hosmer on a big deal, although he's kind of not met some of the expectations, at least on the field. He's been a great leader. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis got a big deal. Will Myers has a deal. They got Blake Snell on a trade. They loaded up on pitching. Yu Darvish. And here we are, the Reds, with a lot lower payroll, have a chance to beat out the Padres for the last wildcard spot in the National League. Goes to show you, you can spend a lot of money. It doesn't guarantee success. It helps, but it doesn't guarantee success.
Yeah, you can get a little bit too far and then get in a hole and then have to figure out how you got in this situation too. And I think that's what the Padres are looking straight at here before too long, all the money that they've spent. And
they
man,
sold
if
out.
They don't have anything to show for it, that's going to be a hard pill to swallow for them.
It reminds me of NBA when the Nets sold out and got Garnett and Pierce and did all this stuff, and it didn't work, and then they just went backwards, didn't have draft picks. You know, San Diego might be doing the same thing, you know, just going for it, and then long-term they're going to really have these big, bad contracts that are guaranteed in baseball that are going to really hurt them. So they were all in, and not really working out. Although, you know, they could get in as a wild card and then win the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, if they get in, that's all they got to do at this point is get into the tournament, and then maybe they can, you know, get things rolling and you know, shoulders you know, a series and pitchers get more opportunities because there's breaks in between and you don't have to use as many guys. And and so, you know, the playoffs is different once you get there. There's no question about that.
Yes, it's a different animal. And obviously we've seen that with the Chiefs over the years and finally breaking through the last couple of years. All right, once again, our top story when it comes to local sports, COVID-19, the impact. Go through that again for you guys tuning in.
Beloit will be playing Marysville now instead of Republic County coming up tomorrow night in their season openers. Republic County is out.
That will be in Beloit. The game will be in Beloit. Let's stress that.
Yeah, be in Beloit on Katy Country 94 and NTKSports.com video stream. And as of right now, Rock Hills football also in a quarantine. They'll miss their first scheduled game against Lynn coming up tomorrow night. The status of week two against Lakeside is uncertain at this time for Rock Hills football. We'll keep an eye on that and follow it. But Rock Hills is out tomorrow night as well. So those are the two immediate area things that are affected by COVID-19 at this point in time. We'll continue to follow if anything else does come up.
All right. Good job. Locker room chats again, as we said, coming up here this evening at 5:15 as we talk to the coaches, St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, Sylvan Lucas. If you missed yesterday's locker room chats with Beloit, Osmond, Smith Center, Thunder Ridge, they're posted on our podcast page on our website, katycountry94.com. And, of course, the latest Athlete of the Week and all the schedules and scores and results and so much more, and even interviews we've had with coaches. And we'll get the Brad Mason one posted later today as well. All available to you at your fingertips, nckssports.com.